What was your takeaway from the way Mark played and just the way he not just played but just kind of handled the huddle and just his poise and the whole package?
Well, you saw that he's a very veteran quarterback. You know, he's played in a lot of games. I thought his demeanor was terrific. I thought he handled the pace well. He did the things that we want in our offense. He, for the most part, he made really good decisions. You could tell he threw the ball accurately, and he did the thing. And I thought he managed the pocket well, which is good. You know, very rarely do you get a chance to drop back and it's all pretty. And although we did protect well, there's times when you got to slide in the pocket, keep your eyes downfield. And I thought he did all those things very well.
In terms of managing the pocket, is that something he's always done well, or has he showed a lot of improvement there since he got here?
Yeah, I was used to, we're sort of used to seeing that type of foot. You know, he hits his back foot and then he pushes up through the pocket and gives himself a chance where, you know, as he's going through his progressions, you just kind of see him keep his feet moving. And then if it's not there, then he's in a position to run with it, which, you know, I think is something that is good.
He talked about how in the Houston game when he came in, he was kind of a little gassed from the tempo and did some extra running during the week. How do you think he handled the tempo, especially on that 91-yard drive? You guys looked like you were really at a good clip there.
He shouldn't get tired. You know, all the other guys should. I think he might have been just playing with you there. You know, but he looked like he was aerobically fine. I thought he handled it. I thought he handled it very well. And like I mentioned, for the most part, it all comes down to decision making. Quarterback's got the ball in his hands on every snap. And if he makes good decisions, whether it's in the run game or in the pass game, then you get a chance to do what you want on offense. I think if you look at it from a group standpoint, we did not turn the ball over. And when we had a chance to get points in the red zone, we did. And then you can see the results. Now, we certainly weren't where we wanted to be in terms of running the football and being efficient on every down. And there's certain things that we got to get better at. But if you don't turn the ball over, and when you're in a position to get points, you get points, then you're doing what you should do.
Matt, what are the particular strengths of the Packers defense as you look at them?
Well, I think they play good team defense. You know, when we sit down to game plan, you look at the tape, and the defenses always look better than sometimes, you know, I think they're ranked. I think they're a good team defense. They're pretty good in the back end, and their linebacker level guys are outstanding. And then plus they've got a couple premier pass rushers. Now, what was different in the last game against Chicago is, you know, they play Clay Matthews at the second level as an inside linebacker, you know, which is something they kind of designed on their few days away. So we have to deal with him as a second-level player, and then certainly he's an outstanding pass rusher, and when they get in their dime sets, he's on the edge of the line of scrimmage. So that'll present a little bit of a challenge for us because he's certainly a guy you want to get blocked, whether you're throwing it or passing or running it.
It looked like they had, like, the worst run defense in the league, and then they moved him inside, and suddenly Matt Forte couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
Did that make that big a difference?
Well, it did early in the game, and then we saw, you know, you saw the game got out of control, and then, you know, you kind of got to look at that game, unfortunately, as kind of a half. And so, you know, I don't think they revealed to us everything they'll do with him in there.
Yeah, obviously 7-for-7 with Sanchez in the red zone, which was an area you guys had struggled. How much of that is Mark? How much of that is just everybody else executing?
I think it's always a combination. You know, we fell victim to turnovers when we haven't been good early in the year in the red zone. It was because we turned the ball over, and it was a mixture of fumbles and interceptions. So, you know, again, we as a unit took care of the ball better, and we as a unit scored more touchdowns.
There were a lot of red zone drives where you didn't turn it over, but you also didn't get six.
Yeah. And then, again, that just speaks to us not doing what we were supposed to do.
Going back to Clay Matthews, how much of him moving inside from his traditional right outside linebacker spot just had to do with the switch, or that just being more of an unscouted look?
I don't know. I mean, that's probably a better question for Dom Capers, but it was effective for him. You know, and then they used him in there. You know, he played at the second level. You know, and I think, like I said, it's hard to tell what they'll do with that whole package, because it really was only about a half, you know, where you could see, you know, and then the game kind of got a little bit away from the Bears. But he did a good job stopping the run. You know, he was up into the line of scrimmage quite a bit, but yet he played a traditional linebacker spot. So, you know, we're just going to have to see how it plays out as we go forward.
Well, Jordan Matthews exceeded your expectations of what a rookie receiver can do in terms of making an impact?
Well, he's making the progress we had hoped he would make. And we've talked all year about production coming in bunches. And I think Salek got a bunch, and he got a bunch the other night. And he made the best of it. And it was a significant impact on the football game. And so, yeah, I think players sometimes when they have a game like that, when you're a player like Jordan Matthews, he'll come out here and try to recreate the work he did prior to that outing. And that's where I think he can get better, because he's going to certainly want to have that production each week.
A couple of the linemen suggested after the game that the Panthers hit them with things that maybe they hadn't seen on tape from a run defense standpoint. How would you analyze why the run game went the way that it did?
Well, I don't know what lineman you're talking about, but I do think they did a good job against the run. And there's a guy named Luke Kuechly that, I mean, he was all over the field. I don't know what his production numbers were, but he did a heck of a job of disrupting us in there. You know, we had some creases in there. I don't think, you know, we left a lot of meat on the bone, but they did a good job defending us running the football. And that's why I think, you know, credit to the players that were out there, we had some success throwing it.
Self-scouting them, what were some of the issues in the run game in terms of, you said, leaving some meat on the bone?
Well, I think there were times when they had one extra up there, you know, and again, we're going to try to be patient and run the football. And then there were times when we had some creases where all of a sudden Luke showed up, you know, and so there were, you know, and then I just think generally speaking, when you leave some meat on the bone in a running game, you know, we can finish better. You know, there's just little things each guy can do better, and then you can have a game where you're back effective again.
Frustration from McCoy?
No, not at all. McCoy's a pro, and much like receivers have production in bunches, he comes out here and he's very steady with his approach, and I don't sense it.
In your experiences over the years working with quarterbacks, what kind of like determines the difference between a backup succeeding or not succeeding?
Well, in our case, you know, we've got a backup that was a starter for a very long time. And I like to think that a guy has got a chance to be good as a starter if he'll prepare like a starter when he's not the starter. And I think that's what you see from Mark. Each week he was preparing himself like he was going to play. And then for whatever reason we say, you're not playing, and then he assumed that role on game day to try to help Nick. And if you keep going through that process, then when you get your chance, it's not like, okay, now I got to change what I do. You know, there's certain times guys that things come easy to them, they don't work hard. And then all of a sudden they get in a little bit of a slump, and then they try to work hard and they don't know the process. Right. Where Mark constantly goes through the process, and I think that can be said for all good backups that then are thrust into a starting role.
Have you seen it the other way where, you know, guys just didn't prepare the right way and then, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've all sort of experienced guys that didn't kind of, you know, feel, you know, I guess, you know, I don't want to say specifically, but certain guys that don't handle that role well.
The last four or five games in your 11 personnel, you've mostly used Brent as the lone tight end, mm-hmm. unless it's been obvious passing situations. Is that strictly a matter of him being a better blocker at this stage than Zach?
No, you know, we tried to get a smooth kind of rotation with our tight ends in there. Brent's a guy that we know he can play on all three downs, and so he's in there quite a bit. And if you can imagine, you know, we may have a first or second down call play or play called, and we get into third down, we go tempo, he's in there, you know. And so we trust him to do whatever. We do think it's smart to get Ertz on the field in situations because he's productive as a receiver, but yet he's improved as a blocker. And then Casey's just kind of steady Eddie as far as doing everything we ask.
You were talking about Jordan Matthews. How did Carolina try to match up with him in that game?
Just normal, you know, that, you know, in man situations, if he was playing on the inside, he was matched up with the nickel. There was nothing exotic about the way they played. I thought they did a good job of disguising things from a pressure standpoint. You know, I think that's kind of Ron and Sean, and you know, you saw a lot of the Jim Johnson type stuff in there, which is really disruptive to an offense. But in terms of how they tried to cover us, it was just like we'd seen.
Why is Jason Kelce having so much trouble snapping the ball now, or seemingly?
I think Jason's just getting back into the flow of things. You know, I don't think there's any trend there.
Given how important Darren Sproles is on special teams, do you guys kind of have a map, have it mapped out how he's going to be used, kind of ration his usage on offense? Or
no, we don't really think about that. You know, I mentioned it last week, but regardless of what play we're going to call, we feel very comfortable if LaShawn's in there, Darren's in there, or now Chris.
Have you ever had the kind of help from special teams in terms of points and field position that you're getting this year?
Well, it's outstanding. You know, I think Fipper and Harp, they do a great job coaching those guys up. And there's just a great feeling around the building that the guys on special teams are going to make a difference in the game in a positive way. And we're guys are expecting, you know, they're preparing number one, and then they're expecting to go out and make a play. And it's had a huge impact on our game so far. You know, when you can get production like that, when we've screwed up and turned the ball over, Billy and the guys on defense have done a great job of eliminating points. And certainly last week, 5 turnovers. If we didn't score a lot of points, there would have been something wrong because there was such an outstanding effort from the defensive side.
Pat, your last year, was Selick a rookie?
I don't remember that. He was here. No, I don't know if he was a rookie, but he was here in a former life. I'm forgetting exactly. Yeah.
I was wondering in terms of tight ends that you've coached over the years in terms of blocking abilities, mm-hmm. where does he rank amongst them?
I think he's one of the best going. I think he's one of the best in the business personally. Not just with his production, but what he does behind the scenes. So he's a guy that if you throw the ball, he can catch it. And when you ask him to block, he'll block for you. And then there's a lot going on for a tight end. They line up attached. They line up detached. They're off the ball. They're on the ball. They're in move, you know. So he's got a view of the big picture, which helps him be good both in the run and the pass game.
Some of these guys that you're talking about, Selick, you know, through eight games, I think he had 90 yards. It seemed like he couldn't care less as long as you guys were winning. Jordan
right.
Matthews talked about
right.
the games he had where he wasn't catching
right.
the ball. It seems like there's a lot of unselfish guys that way who really don't care about their numbers, which is it's not always the case.
Sure.
When you have a bunch of guys like that who are in key roles, and Nick's the same and Mark's
right.
the same, what effect does that have on a team?
Well, I think they just want to help us win, and they want to contribute, and they really don't look at the stat sheet to kind of measure what their contributions are. And I think that's when you're starting to develop the team chemistry that you need. Certainly as skill players, you like to have production because that's the way sometimes you're measured in terms of your contribution. But, you know, our guys don't feel that way. And I think that's why you're seeing great team play. Zach Ertz was involved in special teams, and he had a significant role in Darren Sproles' touchdown run. So, you know, I think that's what you're looking for. And we as coaches, that's the – when that kind of stuff happens and when you hear players talking about, I just want us to win and I want to contribute to winning, that's good. That's really good. Because when selfish behavior and selfish attitudes creep in, it's not conducive to teamness, I guess.
Looking back at the film, what allowed Mark to have such a clean game when it comes to – the decision-making, obviously, we watched the turnovers become a concern in New York over time.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm not comparing anything to New York. I'm just basing it. We're just basing it on what we've seen from them. The protection was good. Mark made good decisions. When they were coming with more than we can block, like the touchdown throw to Jordan Matthews, you know, it was one more that was supposed to be coming, and then he pulled off, and he put the ball in the flat, and we scored. So, he's very comfortable with our progressions. I thought the line did a nice job of keeping him clean for the most part. And then when there was a little bit of noise in the pocket, I thought he did a good job of, you know, managing the pocket and getting the ball to the right guy. And then we also saw from the receivers, there was some tight coverage where guys made great catches. So, you know, they kind of all helped each other, and we all benefited from it.
Two more for Pat.
He's stepping up what you just referenced. That kind of proved your point of previous weeks in terms of consistencies. He made 3 or 4 plays like that where mm-hmm. he felt it, took 2 steps up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
That's like having an extra play, isn't it, or in your arsenal?
It's, you know, managing the pocket is important. You know, we practice. You first start practicing versus air, and everything's very easy. Now you start, colors start flashing, and, you know, who's getting blocked and all that. He was able to, you know, we try to keep a firm inside and get the guys up the field. So when you hit your back foot and you hitch through it and then be able to keep your eyes down the field, you know, there's a trust there. But it's natural for him because that's the way he's always played. And I think he just kind of did what came natural, and then what kind of – he lowered himself to his training because he's been trained that way.
You said from a coverage standpoint that what Carolina did was pretty much what you've seen all year. Is that because you think of the defenses of the teams you've seen, or is that just the template that you think people, when they look at you, they say, hey, we're gonna go man, we're going to try to get pressure, we're going to stop the run?
When you boil it all down, teams can play one deep man, two deep man, one deep zone, two deep zone, and then they can do what they want with the pressure. You know, and I think we saw normal coverage concepts from Sean the other night.